amazing what lengths some people will go to escape doing what the Lord wants them to do. In Jonah's case, it was to try to get away from the presence of the Lord. But it's even more amazing to see what lengths the Lord would go to make sure that Jonah did what the Lord wanted him to do. One sense, I think that the Lord went, of course, to a lot more trouble than what Jonah did. Jonah didn't deserve all that the Lord did, but in fact the Lord did many great things in order to bring about his decrees. Now, we're looking at this story before I went on holiday, and we'd seen how Jonah had voluntarily, if you like, been thrown overboard, and to all intents and purposes he was going to die. We saw how the storm abated immediately. He recognised it was his fault, and unless he got out of the ship, innocent lives would be lost. And the amazing thing was, we saw the great difference in those sailors. They were rough sailors. They said at the beginning of the account how they called upon their gods. And by the time he got to the end of that little passage, they were calling on the God of Jonah. And through Jonah's very simple testimony that he was a Hebrew, and that he feared the Lord who had made the sea and dry land, we saw a great change in those rough sailors. They did what they could, and right at the end they not only acknowledged God as in word, as it were, it says they feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and they made vows. So there was a great change that come over those rough sailors. Now the first reading, first verse of our reading this morning in verse 17 of chapter 1, put Jonah in the fish. And the last verse that we read, chapter 2 and verse 10, took Jonah out of the fish. So we're going to look this morning at what happened in between. Of course, that's a miracle in itself. Many people have debated what type of fish it was. Many children's books describe it as a whale. And picture it as a whale. We don't know what it was. Of course, technically, whale is not a fish, but it doesn't matter too much. There's all sorts of explanations, and people have found examples where they found people inside a fish and said, therefore, we know it's possible. I couldn't help smiling at Sinclair Ferguson, who wrote on this. He suggested it was a red herring. I think it was a bit of a play on words there, wasn't it? What he meant was that the actual swallowing of Jonah by a great fish is the things that people centre on, but that's a red herring. That's not really the point. The point is that God prepared a great fish, and that's the point, isn't it? And I do seem to wonder sometimes what happened to that fish. Wouldn't it be great if an evolutionist found that fish? I wonder what they would make of it. They say, well, this has been around for millions of years. No, actually, God just prepared that fish. But I suspect God prepared that fish. And then, if I can say it in probably not a very biological way, he unprepared it. You find that throughout Scripture. The things that the Lord did were no longer to be found. He didn't leave writings, did he? He didn't leave a piece of paper so people could worship a bit of paper that Jesus wrote on. He wrote in the sand, and the water took it away. We don't read of anything that the Lord actually made that people could pick up and then worship, because that's not what God is about. We worship him by faith. But anyway, that's by the way, really, isn't it? The great miracle here really is that Jonah was a defeated man. Remember, he was a believer, he was a prophet, but he became a defeated man when he went into that fish. But he was restored whilst he was there and came out to serve the Lord. So how did this change come about? Well, you might say, I'm sitting here this morning, I'm not really like Jonah. I haven't lost fellowship with the Lord. So kind of what's going to be the message for me? Well, I think it's a message for most of us here. I think it's a message here for everyone who would get closer to the Lord, and surely every Christian would want to do that. There's a message here for everyone who has a mind to serve the Lord more effectively. You know, you have to examine, what do we do to serve the Lord? And sometimes we say, well, we're not doing a lot. And maybe this might encourage you to do something. Or maybe you've got the Jonah syndrome, if you like, a sense of failure, and the Lord would say this morning, well, come on, let's get up and get on. And maybe for anyone who has to seek the Lord, well, Jonah certainly had to do that. And particularly there's a message here for any who feel that they really need to return to the Lord. So I think there's something here for us all. You know, so often we have to retrace our steps when things go adrift. And we have to retrace them to where they went adrift, where we began to ease off perhaps in certain things. And in retracing steps here, we see two things that Jonah has to do. He has to return to the presence of the Lord. Not that the Lord actually ever left him, but in his mind he was running away from the presence of the Lord. So one of the first things he has to do is to seek the presence of the Lord. And the other thing he's gone away from is the word of the Lord. And so the other thing he has to do is return to what God told him. So what can we learn from this morning? Well, first of all, I want us to see how we can return, or how we can get closer to the Lord. You know, we must never give up. It's very easy for Christians to do that, and I've met some that have. They've started off doing something for the Lord, they've started off serving the Lord, and something was difficult for them, or someone came along and made it difficult, or maybe a sin came along. It could be all sorts of things, and they kind of just gently eased off, and they never picked it up again. And there's a sense in their life, perhaps, of failure, and, well, there's nothing further for me to do. Well, my friends, if Jonah could be recovered from his situation, there is hope for us all. The Lord's mercy and his restoration is as great today as it was in Jonah's day. So how did he recover? Well, the first thing we find is he prayed. He prayed, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Now, I don't mind a bit of fish occasionally, but you know what it's like when you've cooked fish in the house. You come in, you say, oh, you've been cooking fish. You can smell it quite often, can't you? Well, to be inside a fish, you know, that must have been a very awful situation. The fact that there was the smell, all the other things that would have been in there. But there's the hopeless despair, isn't there? That you're in a situation, I'm not going to get out of here. You know, because it's claustrophobia at its max, isn't it? This is an awful, you know, we can hardly kind of imagine what it was like to be there. But you see, Jonah found, well, I can still pray. There is nothing else I can do. I can't kick my way out. There is nothing I can do, but I can pray. And sadly, sometimes it's not until we get into that situation where we say, there is nothing I can do, then, well, yeah, I can pray. And that's what he did. And my friends, if you can pray from the belly of a fish, then you can pray from anywhere. You see, prayer is the natural breath of the believer, isn't it? Jonah was still a believer. And so what does he do? He's just about breathing as a Christian. And that breath is prayer. When Saul of Tarshish was converted, local Christians were very doubtful about him. He'd been persecuting them. And they said, we're not sure of this man. We're not going to invite him into our midst. And the Lord had to point out to them, look, behold, he prays. He's doing that which only a Christian can really do. It was acknowledged by God. It was acknowledged, therefore, by the local believers that it was a sign of Christian life. And so here in the depths of the sea, the Spirit of God draws from Jonah this prayer, this failed prophet. And it denotes a great mark of grace. It's interesting. So Jonah, who had been running away from the Lord, all of a sudden now wants to get close to the Lord. He realizes the folly of what he's been doing. In other words, he has to return to where he was. He was in fellowship with the Lord. He then tried to get away from the Lord. No, you've got to come back to the Lord. Don't expect the Lord to use you exactly where you are here. You've got to retrace your steps. And so it is when we fail the Lord. We can't just get up and say, well, I'll carry on. No, we've got to get back to the Lord. We have to be restored to him. And it's amazing how sweetly the Lord drew him. And yet it's more amazing to think that he would draw him at all. He's a failed prophet. Can you imagine this in a natural situation, perhaps in an army, that you've got someone who has deserted. He's given an order. Go to that place and fight. Go to that place and do whatever. And he says, I ain't going. I'm going to go in this direction. He's a deserter. He deserves to be shot. But the Lord gently calls him and he hears Jonah's prayer. You know, in one sense, Jonah was going through a traumatic experience that in some measure, many Christians will go through at some points in our lives here. And there's a couple of things going on here, isn't there? There's the return to the Lord's presence, but there's also the shame, isn't there? There's a shame and realisation that we're away from the Lord, but it's intertwined with the joy that we're received of the Lord. You know, sometimes as Christians, we do have a number of kind of clashing emotions. And that's not to be sniffed at. We're not to be surprised at that. You know, this is one of those Christian experiences where we may feel a measure of shame before the Lord, and as I say, joy. And it's one of those that one hymn writer said, it's better felt than telt. And sometimes when some of you maybe have felt you've let the Lord down, but you've also been regathered to the Lord, it is something very personal. Jonah had the shame of letting the Lord down, and the shame of being cast out of the Lord. He said in verse 3, for thou hast cast me into the deep. So he's acknowledging that the Lord made this happen. Verse 4, I am cast out of thy sight. But then there was the joy and thrill of knowing that even in this potential grave, God heard him and answered his cry. Because in verse 2 it says, but thou heardst my voice. Verse 4, yet I will look again to thy holy temple. He made in this absolute desperate situation. He says, I'm going to look to the Lord. There is a way out of here. There is an element of faith here. And it says, yet, verse 6, hast thou brought my life from corruption. So you see the clash of things that were going on here. I've been cast out, but I will look again. I've been cast into the deep, but thou hast heard my voice. Thou hast brought up my life from corruption. So Jonah is enabled to seek the presence of the Lord, and it's by God's grace and no other. He didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve it at all. But the Lord comes to his aid. And my friends, as so often, such blessing comes by grace through the means of prayer. And you know, despite what we feel, so long as we have that repentant heart, and clearly Jonah realised that here, we're never too low to be heard of the Lord. But I said there were two things Jonah had to do. As well as seek the Lord's presence, which he had run from, he also had to return to God's word, because he'd run from that also. So secondly, we see here, how so often we need to return to the word of God. We read in chapter 1 and verse 1, the very first verse there, it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. God gave him clear instructions as a prophet where he wanted him to go, what he wanted him to say. But Jonah had fled from not only the presence of God, but from the word of God. And you notice maybe when you come to read something of Jonah's prayer here, how he uses similar phrases to the psalmist. That's why we read at the beginning of the service some verses from Psalm 130, and one of the hymns we sang was based on that psalm also. So, for example, Psalm 130 says, out of the depths have I cried to thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Now, Jonah didn't know that psalm, because it hadn't been written yet. Jonah was about 200 years before David comes onto the scene. But Jonah was using what we might call godly language, the language the Lord gives in his word. In other words, having fled from the word of God, Jonah is now using words such as God was going to put in his word. And Jonah would have been familiar, obviously, speaking with the Lord as a prophet. Another sign of God's grace on his life, another indication and encouragement for a child of God. Now, that's not to say, of course, that people who quote scripture are all believers. But taken with evidence on evidence in Scripture, we see it's something that the people of God do. And you and I do it. You listen to your own prayers, perhaps, at home. And so often, there are little bits of Scripture that come into our prayers. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing to pray Scripture. We've got examples of prayer. Perhaps more in the New Testament are applicable to us than the Old Testament. Many of the prayers in the Old Testament are for specific situations. The psalmist, of course, is more general. But when you come and you read some of Paul's epistles, there are some great prayers in there. And they are clearly prayers that we may take up and adapt to our own situation. It's interesting. I think it's in the book of Isaiah, but I didn't check it. It talks there about the people of God being the Lord's remembrances. In other words, the Lord wants us to remind him of his word. You might say, well, that doesn't make sense. The Lord knows his word. Why would he want us to remind him of his word? Well, he does. He likes to hear us, to bring, as it were, a promise from God's word and to bring it to him. We are the Lord's remembrances. I remember many, many years ago in my secular employment, one of my jobs was to sometimes write to Parliament or to write to the royal household. And we were reminding the Queen's household, and reminding certain dignitaries in Parliament that it was time they wrote to us to thank us for something or to do something that came round each year. And I used to think, well, why don't they keep a diary? Why do they need me to remind them to do something for me? It just seemed crazy. But you see, that's the way we might say it's always been done that way. We were the remembrancers for Parliament or for the royal household for these certain things. And it's more so with the Lord. Yes, of course, the Lord knows, but we are to be the Lord's remembrancers. And that's what Jonah was doing here. He was giving the Lord, as it were, his own language. And if he'd had a Bible, it would have been actually portions of his own word. And there was a lesson there, wasn't there, that we might return to the word of God. But there was a particular lesson for Jonah here, from the word of God. Because what was the Lord actually teaching Jonah here? You see, Jonah appears to have had little or no compassion for the people in Nineveh. See, I've not spoken about Nineveh this morning. That's what he was told to do, wasn't it? To go to Nineveh, there were people who were violent. They were Assyrians. They were the most dreadful, violent people. But Jonah was told to go to them and call them to repent because the Lord knew they would repent. He was going to give them grace to repentance. But Jonah hadn't got the compassion for that. He didn't realise that if he didn't go, if they didn't get the message, then these people would be lost. That was really what ought to have been going through his mind. And so the Lord has to say, bring Jonah to a situation to realise that he's likely to be lost. And if the Lord was going to show compassion on Jonah, now Jonah, can't you go and show compassion on these, was it 120,000 people? And it's a lesson we have to learn, isn't it? That how we need compassion for people. That we've been told to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now you see, although Jonah was in a helpless situation, people in Nineveh were more helpless. They couldn't pray. They didn't know where to teach them to pray. They didn't know what prayer was except to their pagan gods. And we're no different today. You talk to people round about, they're not going to pray. They don't have the capacity to pray. They don't have the desire to pray. They know what prayer is other than opening a book and reading some particular words. In any case, many of them would probably prefer to pray to some non-existent pagan god. They're hopeless. They're in the same situation as we find the people in Nineveh. My friends, how we need that compassion. And I join with you there. Standing a couple of weeks ago at the feast, and you're just giving out these gospel literature, and you know what you're giving out, that if the Lord was to use it, it's potential to give these people eternal life, potential that they might know their sins forgiven and change their eternal destination from hell to heaven. And as you give this out and people are saying, don't need that, or I'm all right, thanks, or they just take it out of your hand, you realise the eternality and the importance of what you're doing, and yet don't feel the compassion that I ought. You know, with every person going by there, you think, who didn't take it, who didn't want to know, who's not going to read it, they're willingly, as it were, walking off to a lost eternity. And did my heart feel anything? Not as much as it should. My mind did. I could work it out, but I need to feel it more. And we need to weep over them, don't we? And it's often not until we weep over them that the Lord comes and does a great work. So then Jonah's brought back to God's presence and to his word. That we read, if we went ahead a chapter, it says in chapter 3, in God's mercy we see, and it says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord, we can't presume on the Lord. The Lord often does give a second chance, but we can't presume on it. It came unto Jonah a second time, and it says, so Jonah arose. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Chapter 1, Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. He went down, it says, to Joppa. But now it says, he arose, and he was ready to go to Nineveh. Let me find another lesson here this morning. We see how the Lord's dealings with us are really to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God didn't come to Jonah to punish him. He came to him that he might restore him. And the Lord comes to us so often and he wants to restore us. He wants to pick us up and get on with the work. And we have to learn that many of the experiences that we're brought to are to teach us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring us closer to him, maybe to chastise us if necessary. Certainly Jonah must have felt chastised at that time. And we're to pick up these opportunities, these difficulties, these afflictions or whatever they might be, that we might use them, that we might be more conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5 verse 3 says, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. And sometimes it's a good thing when we're brought low because if Jonah hadn't been brought low, then he wouldn't have arisen and gone. And I don't know, and I don't want to be presumptuous, but maybe the message that Jonah took had more passion in it, having been in the belly of that fish, than he would have had if he'd gone straight there and done it. I don't know. That doesn't mean it's an excuse for the fact that he did that which was wrong. He should have gone straight there. But there's a thought there for us. It also doesn't mean that as Christians we should only be happy when we're in trouble. But we are to use our trials to God's glory and to our patience. That's what most of you have read about Johnny Erickson. We quote from her from time to time. But a little quote here, she says, "I really don't mind the inconvenience of being paralysed." It's a great statement, isn't it, really? I don't mind the inconvenience of being paralysed if my faithfulness to God while in this wheelchair will bring glory to him. When God brings suffering into your life as a Christian, be it mild or drastic, he is forcing us to decide on issues that we've been avoiding. He's pressing us to ask ourselves some questions. Am I going to continue to live in two worlds, obeying Christ and my own sinful desires? Or am I going to refuse to worry? Am I going to be grateful in trials? Am I going to abandon my sins? In short, am I going to be like Christ? He provides the suffering, but the choice is yours. Johnny says, "But today I look back, I am convinced that the whole ordeal of my paralysis was inspired by his love. I wasn't a rat in a maze. I wasn't the brunt of some cruel divine joke. God had reasons behind my suffering, and learning some of them has made all the difference in the world." Look at what the grace of God had done for Jonah in his watery closet. Made him return to God's presence. It brought him back to God's word. It gave him a sense of purpose in his trial. It gave him a sense of compassion that he didn't have before. A new sense of consecration. A new understanding of God. He realised that everything about his deliverance and the deliverance of the people of Nineveh was of God's grace and doing. He says salvation is of the Lord. And so we see all the things that he learnt that he wouldn't have learnt otherwise. But let me give you a final point, and it's a brief one. But you notice God's sovereign grace, even in the depths, perhaps especially in the depths. You know, Jonah's brief statement there, where he says, salvation is of the Lord, in verse 9 of chapter 2. Salvation is of the Lord. And we've got there, what, 5 words. And it's one of the most concise doctrinal statements we have in Scripture. You see, there is no way that Jonah could extract himself from his smelly, watery grave. And so there is no way we can extract ourselves from the deadness of our sinful nature. And here God provided, didn't he? God provided the fish, and God told the fish what to do. And for us, God provided his only begotten Son. And in fact, we have similar phraseology in one place. It says, "Thou hast prepared me a body." A body was prepared. The Lord Jesus Christ came, God in the body of the flesh, that he might make the way of salvation and give it to us helpless sinners. And Jonah's statement for his own situation, his salvation is of the Lord. And it's exactly the same today for any sinner. Salvation is only of the Lord. There is nothing in us whatsoever. And that's why we call it sovereign grace. And so the lesson having been learnt, God speaks to his creation and the fish obliges. And the fact the fish was more obedient than what Jonah was, wasn't he? The fish didn't need telling twice. The fish comes and he vomits Jonah back onto dry land. And Jonah is ready to follow the Lord, and so he is delivered on dry land. What a sight. You know, he might have looked a bit of a mess when he turned up on the beach. If anyone was there sunbathing and saw what was happening, they would have thought, "Oh, I wish I'd got a picture of that." But that's it, isn't it? It was an amazing thing. It was a lovely sight. And for Jonah, just to think, fresh air, to think, now, look what the Lord has done. He's delivered me, and I'm ready to go. And you know, that must have been an absolutely amazing feeling. And you know, how much more we should feel like that. That the Lord has delivered us from death. He's delivered us from the grave. And he's given us new life. And we should be ready to get on and serve him. As a lovely sight, a repentant man ready to take up the work. Now let's make some application from these things. My friends, may we have grace and wisdom to use our trials, our afflictions, our chastisements to our eternal benefit, but particularly to God's glory. When Jonah says, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And that's what we must continue to do. He would not have cried unto the Lord had he not been in that trouble. And my friends, so often we are brought into trouble, we are brought into distress in order that we might call unto the Lord. My friends, let's never waste a trial. Sounds a hard thing, doesn't it? And as one says in the New Testament, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And that's very hard, isn't it? And he doesn't mean we should just rub our hands and say, well, oh, hallelujah, I've got a problem. It's not that at all. What it means is, when the trial comes along, say, well, how am I going to deal with this as a Christian? That I can squeeze it, as it were, and get something out of it for the glory of God. And it is in those situations that we are strengthened, that we are, as Peter writes, doesn't he, about the trials that come along, they're more precious than gold. We're hammered out on the anvil. We're made stronger. And I don't know much about metallurgy, but if you do take a piece of metal and you heat it up and you hit it with a hammer hard enough, I was told at school it does make it a bit stronger. And that's it with us, doesn't it? Sometimes we have to be hit with a theological hammer, with the hand and loving hand of God, and we are made stronger through it. We're refined. We're brought out as gold. And then secondly, we do need to take up the work the Lord gives us, don't we? You know, we need to be more ready to take the word of God to the unsaved. Jonah was to take it to people in another land. And we find today, don't we, people from other lands have come to us. There we are. But, you know, for us, our Nineveh is on our doorstep. Your own community and our communities here. This is our Nineveh. This is where the Lord's placed us. He says, now go and tell those people about the gospel. And I guess we're not very good at that. It's something we're going to have to look at in the coming months. And then finally here, to any who are seeking the Lord, can we not see this morning how still salvation is of the Lord? Jonah could not save himself. All the strength, all the help, and I suggest even the element of prayer was something that was drawn by the Spirit of God. And so outside of Christ, we cannot save ourselves. We need to cry like Jonah to the God of Jonah that we might see our true position. The thing is, people in the world today, many of them don't realise where they are. They don't realise that they are lost. And we read, don't we, in the Bible further on, that as Jonah was in the belly of this fish 3 days and 3 nights, so Christ was in the tomb. And there he was, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not knowing any of that, of course, but the Lord turns back to that and gives us that as an example. He became like Jonah, as it were, but the Lord died on the cross, didn't he? In order that the Jonahs of life, all of us here, that we might know eternal life. Salvation is of the Lord. May we each be enabled to know it and experience it to his glory, for Christ's sake. Amen.